If we can't help you, we can refer you to someone who can.
Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
This can't be good. What am I supposed to do?
Survive.
Here they come.
And wow, you gotta love those. This is Queer FM Community. Wow, everything's a little bit wonky here in the studio because, well, it's the weekend and that's how things roll. So, yeah, my name is Aiden Saint, and I have the pleasure of having Jennifer Breakspear. She is the exec director of Community and my foil when it comes to news and politics. Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm your foil. Wow.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everybody's got to have a foil.
I can't help but think foil. Two things come to mind. One, you know, that thing that fencers use.
Uh-huh.
And two, what you unwrap when you want some Wrigley spearmint gum.
Okay. No, I'll kind of go with that.
Foil.
Foil. Well,
Rats, foiled again.
You got to love this. Someone stepped on my headphones, apparently. So it's static.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, no headphones for me.
Don't need those.
Yeah, I don't need these. So I'm going to watch the little bobbing little needle here and hope that my voice comes out okay, because, CITR strikes again. All right, so that's my complaining about the radio station. It's a great radio station. We have a lot of fun here, and we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. This is our news and politics show. Why? Because it just sort of worked out that way.
Why not?
Queer FM Community, today I have the pleasure of doing news and politics, and what a news and politics week it has been. A lot to talk about. We're going to
South Carolina, I bet.
Oh, God, yeah. North Carolina or South Carolina. And then we have the Herman Cain, Stephen Colbert finishing fifth in the GOP race, which put them at 1%, which means they could continue, conceivably. Yeah, they actually got delegates.
Too cool.
Oh, I know. It's just crazy. It's U.S. politics, and we'll get to that. But first, I can't play that one. It's before 6 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to play this one. This is one of our new fave artists here. It's Lana Del Rey, and this is called Born to Die. It's new out from her, and this is Queer FM Community. We'll be right back. I promise.
Don't fail me now. Take me to the finish line. All my heart it breaks every step that I take, but I'm open at the gates. They'll tell me that you're mine. Friday nights, can you make it feel like home? If I tell you you're mine, it's like I told you, honey. Don't make me sad, don't make me cry. Sometimes life is not enough and the road gets tough. I don't know why. Keep making me laugh, let's go get high. The road is long, we carry on, try to have fun in the meantime. Come and take a walk on the outside, let me kiss you hard in the pouring rain. You're like a girl's insane. So choose your last words, this is the last time. Cause you and I, we would wanna die. Lost but now I am found. I can see you, once I was blind. I was so confused as a little child, trying to take what I could get, scared that I couldn't find all the answers, honey. Don't make me sad, don't make me cry. Sometimes life is not enough and the road gets tough. I don't know why. Keep making me laugh, let's go get high. The road is long, we carry on, try to have fun in the meantime. Come and take a walk to the outside, let me kiss you hard in the pouring rain. You're like your girl's insane. So choose your last words, this is the last time. Cause you and I, we were born to die. Life is not enough and the road gets tough. I don't know why. Keep making me laugh, let's go get high. The road is long, we carry on, try to have fun in the meantime. Come and take a walk on the outside, let me kiss you hard in the pouring rain. You're like a girl's insane. So choose your last word, we were born to die.
This boy and girl, coming home from school, look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
Bernoulli's Bagels, serving up authentic Montreal-style bagels made fresh daily on the premises, in addition to sandwiches, soups, squealers, calzones, and freshly squeezed juice. Bernoulli's is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
And we're back. It's Queer FM Community, and, well, this is kind of the Queer FM Unplugged show because we're having
Some might say Gong Show. Yes. But that's of another era, and many of the listeners might not even know of
I loved Chuck Barris.
He was something else, wasn't he?
He really was. He was this amazing short little guy, you know, with the curly hair and the amazing smile, and produced everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, and of course, his career ended in scandal.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
Google Chuck Barris, people.
Google Chuck Barris, B-A-R-R-I-S. Does that mean that we're old?
We're older than some of our listeners.
Yes, this is true.
There was a movie involving Chuck Barris.
Yes, there was.
And it was, oh gosh, who was in that?
Well, I don't recall now. And there was another movie also that was a biopic. Oh, it was... the one with Chuck Barris was that was the one with the guy from Hogan's Heroes.
And oh,
that had
yeah.
So what are you gonna do? Well, we have
we're mixing our nostalgia here.
I know. Well, we went ahead and I have a list of things. There's not a whole lot of Canadian this time. I'm sorry. Well,
it's because Canadians have not been doing anything really outrageous or crazy in the last week.
No, they really haven't. Now we do have in Queer FM at 6 o'clock. I think at 7:05 exactly. We're going to be talking with Corinne from the Rio Theater.
Yep,
and talking about the liquor board granting the license to sell alcohol at the Rio Theater, and then of course them subsequently coming down on the Rio Theater and saying, sorry, kids, no more movies for you. Go to your room.
Yeah.
Go to your room. Don't come out until we tell you.
You can have one or the other.
But not both. And we're going to talk to her about that. At the 6 o'clock hour, 6:15, we're going to be talking with one of our new board member positions. He's part of the Parks Board. His name is Trevor Loke. And he's part of the LGBTQ community and going to be fun. We're gonna enjoy talking to him and find out, what is the Parks Board anyway, and why does Jamie Lee Hamilton keep trying to be on it? I know, right?
I'm steering clear of the studio during that discussion.
Excellent.
I'll be watching it unfold over Facebook.
In a surly mood. So we're going to talk about the U.S. elections. The United States is having one of those things they love to have every 4 years.
Craziness?
I know, yeah. Craziness, exactly. Every 4 years, the United States elects a new president to bash. And they've got some really fantastically great job security people for Stephen Colbert and for Jon Stewart. And we're going to talk about that. The U.S. elections, they had a series of GOP debates since the last time you and I spoke, Jennifer. And
grand old party.
You know, they had their Saturday night. South Carolina had its GOP elections.
Primary.
It's primary. They don't have caucuses like they do in Iowa. Now, for those of you who don't follow politics south of the border, that's okay. It's so much fun. Just watch Jon Stewart. He'll get you caught up. But they have in Iowa, they have what's called a caucus system. And a caucus system essentially is kind of like buying imaginary votes. Each person has a fee that they pay, a straw poll fee that they pay to vote, okay? And sometimes if you go into the candidate's tent, they cover it for you.
Hmm.
So literally buying votes.
Wow.
And it's really interesting. They'll set up tents, and it's kind of like, if you can imagine, if you can imagine living in the southern United States at a Christian revival meeting. Essentially, that's what it is. And they were talking about preposterous things like, we have chairs in our tent.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And so that was a big selling point for Michelle Bachmann's tent. They had chairs.
And a lot of closets.
And a lot of closets. For Marcus Bachmann. No.
And all his friends.
And all of his friends. So anyway, that was the first election or the first step. Okay. Yeah. And why am I mentioning it? Well, because it was won by Mitt Romney.
What a great name. Is Mitt short for something?
It's his nickname.
Mitchell?
His actual name is Willard.
You shorten Willard to Mitt?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know what's up with that. Wilfred. No, Willard. I think it is Willard. Yeah, it's Willard. Why I'm mentioning it? Because Mitt Romney won.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Rick Santorum. Google it. Google Santorum. Trust me. You Google Santorum and then you'll get a better picture of what's going on. Anyway, he came in second by, I believe they said something like 20 votes.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was some disparity on that. Now, remember, this is an imaginary election. Okay. That doesn't count for anything. It just talks about the delegates that are going to be given at the Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it turns out this week that they did a recount and Rick Santorum wins.
Shut up.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. So, no, so Rick Santorum wins. Mitt Romney went to New Hampshire, and of course, the guy from Boston or from Massachusetts wins in New Hampshire. I mean, it's only one of the whitest states in the union, with the exception of Utah. I mean, it is very upper crust, very upper middle class, very, very Caucasian. So, of course, the guy from New England is going to win in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Well, then Newt Gingrich came along.
Newt. And Newt is short for?
I have no freaking idea. All my life, I have known him as Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, Radioland listeners, has been in politics in the United States all of my life.
And he epitomizes the term angry white man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
ew.
Yeah.
Ick.
So, and I mean all of my life, I mean all of my adult life, all the life that I've been, as long as I've been able to vote, Newt Gingrich has been involved with U.S. politics. He was Speaker of the House of Representatives. Yeah. He was
Speaker of the House when they were trying to impeach Bill Clinton.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For nasty doings that were really dangerous to the state. What was it? Oh, adultery.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I can say this word, but I'm going to because I think I can. He received, Bill Clinton received oral gratification in the Oval Office from an intern.
Yeah.
And
would we call that sex? I mean, Bill did have a way of answering the question about did you have sex with that intern?
I did not have sex with that woman.
Yeah.
And then he went
on. About this blue dress.
Yeah. So she kept the blue dress that had the semen stain
devil
on it.
Devil with a blue dress, devil with a blue dress, devil with a blue dress on.
Or off, as the case may be. And what was really interesting about the entire matter is they ground the entire U.S. government to a bloody halt over
a blowjob. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the same Newt Gingrich. Okay. Now it turns out.
You'd think that if someone is going to lead a charge to take down a president or try to take down a president over him getting a blowjob from someone who is not his wife,
yes,
that person would have to be purer than pure himself.
Well, you would think, but no, ladies and gentlemen, he is not. Yes. What ends up happening is that there was a story that was planted. And we don't know really by who. Just a few days before the South Carolina primary, when Newt Gingrich was really riding the conservative, hyper Southern United States conservative bandwagon, it came out this week that Newt Gingrich, during his, let's see, let me get this straight, asked his second wife.
Yep.
If he could, they could enter into an open relationship so that he could then sleep with his now third wife, who was his mistress of 8 years.
Yeah, he asked her for an open marriage.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, so that he could do it and not cheat.
Right.
So she, of course, apparently,
according to her,
said absolutely not, and so he went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. It's really playing well in the southern states, especially for middle-of-the-road Christians, because he's asked for forgiveness. He's gotten his collective together. And so he is now a changed man. And since the Christian faith believes in forgiveness and redemption, he's played the Christian card and is
gay.
And so during the last debate prior to the vote, John King of CNN News had the temerity to ask the question that ABC News had broken the day before about this question, the whole open marriage thing. Newt Gingrich responded rather testily that he didn't want to respond, but he would, and proceeded to tear John King a new bodily orifice on international TV. Mm. What's surprising about this is that the applause lines, he got a standing ovation from the crowd.
Newt did.
And all of his anti-gay, anti-lesbian rhetoric, all of his sanctity of marriage rhetoric, coming from Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, that's seriously. I'm trying to throw like the three little pigs and the big bad wolf in here, but it's like allowing a small child to look after the cookie jar. I mean, with crumbs all over his or her face. I mean, really? I mean, you know. This child is not capable of, this is a flaw. They have a flaw. They like cookies too much. Are you going to really let them? No, you're not. Same thing here. You have a position of power that is nearly unmatched.
Mm.
And you're going to let who? The reflexive, angry white dude who...
homophobic.
And- who's homophobic to all get out. You want that guy to be in charge?
Yeah.
Okay. So it gets even crazier because in the process of all of this, Mitt Romney, the hereunto sort of anointed one.
And somewhat the comes across as sanest.
Really, yeah.
Middle of the roadest.
And he's formerly, in Bain Capital, formerly a corporate raider.
Okay.
So, I mean, and apparently he pays 15% a year on his taxes, which
seems pretty low.
Yeah, which he's actually a multi-millionaire and should be paying somewhere in the 33%, 35%, something like that. I mean, in fact, ironically, Rick Santorum came out with his. He's at 33. Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich came out with his. He's at 33, mm-hmm. because these people all make over $1 million a year.
Sure.
Okay. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, was talking, well, you know, I'm unemployed. I sometimes get some small speaker's fees. Last year, his speaker's fees came out to $400,000.
Jeez, he's falling on rough times, eh?
Yeah, I know. It's really tough. He's going to have to fire one of his many, like, hair consultants. So it's really killing me because I'm watching this and it's killing, because I have to watch it. It's killing Mitt Romney. Because he is that 1%.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's famous actually for corporations or people.
Oh, okay.
That's Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Stephen Colbert, and I mentioned this in our last show, Stephen Colbert has transferred his super PAC. and look up Citizens United reader or listeners if you want to know about the U.S. policy that was changed that now allows third-party corporations or entities to funnel unlimited money, untraceable money, into U.S. elections. So okay. Now you have these third party, as long as they're not coordinating with the candidate.
Right.
So John Huntsman's, the person running John Huntsman's super PAC was John Huntsman's dad.
Hmm.
But they're not coordinating.
Yeah, sure.
So Stephen Colbert came out with a super PAC a few years back during the Citizens United thing and ran for political office in 2008. He was sponsored by Doritos. It was really great. And so what's going on now is that Jon Stewart took over the reins of Stephen Colbert's super PAC, and Stephen Colbert ran for the President of the United States of South Carolina.
Oh, right. We talked about this last week. Yep. Yeah.
So there was a wrinkle.
Hmm?
He couldn't get on the ballot.
He couldn't?
No.
Why?
Because he was too late.
Oh, damn.
But.
Deadlines.
Herman Cain was on the ballot.
I thought he dropped off.
Yes, but he was already on the ballot.
Oh.
You can't take someone off the ballot once they have the signatures required to be on the ballot. So, last week, Stephen Colbert ran as Herman Cain. A vote for Herman Cain was a vote for Stephen Colbert. And Herman Cain played along with it. He actually went to South Carolina with Stephen Colbert.
Oh,
and they
God.
Sang This Little Light of Mine on stage.
Oh, how sweet.
And Herman Cain quoted the Pokemon poem that he that he, oh yeah, it's just crazy stuff. All right, so.
which one is the joke comedian politician and which one is the real one here?
Well, that really is the question, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah, so what's going on is that you have this craziness of South Carolina. So you have Newt Gingrich, who's dealing with the three wives and the adulterism, the adulterer label.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Christians are going for him. You have Rick Santorum, who's extremely homophobic, extremely right-wing, extremely hyper Christian, and the extreme Christians are, of course, rallying to him. You have Mitt Romney, who was kind of the, you know, the choice because we can't find anyone that actually can beat Obama. And then you had Stephen Colbert, who actually got 1% of the vote, and he was the not Romney candidate. And then you have, of course, Ron Paul, who was the hyper libertarian candidate that no one will actually vote for because longer term, because, wow, he wants to like cut like $1 trillion out of the budget in the first year. He wants to scale back pretty much everything and just let, like, he would have let Detroit, like the automakers here in Canada and in the United States, would have let them fail. Hmm. Whereas Obama stepped in and said, right, okay, you know, you are one of our number one industries in the entire country. Maybe we'll bail you out.
Right.
So that's setting the scene for Saturday.
Where did Rick Perry's votes go to?
Rick Perry dropped out last week, and they appear to have... That's a good question, because some people really liked Rick Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would have gone, say, Ron Paulish. Some of them would have gone, of course, hyper-Christian. So they would have gone to, you know, Santorum. Some would have said Santorum can't possibly win, so we're going to go with, you know, with Mitt. Mm. And some would have said, screw them, I'm going for Stephen Colbert. So they kind of just went right out throughout all
so
the different
candidates. So it ended up being negligible.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's setting the stage for our next piece, and that is going to be talking about what happened and why is it important. Oh, we're going to do that after we do a little bit of radio business. We'll be right back after some radio business and one quick song right after this.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
All the things she been seen, guess you better find your way back home.
Are you a UBC student taking first-year economics, math, chemistry, or physics?
That stuff is hard.
Are you feeling like you need some tutoring? That's okay, because the AMS offers free and appointment tutoring for students in these subjects.
Whoa! How does it work?
It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's no need to sign up. Just show up with your books and your questions.
Whoa! When does it happen?
Monday to Thursday from 3 to 7 at the Sub Pacific Spirit Cafeteria, located beside the Starbucks.
Whoa! A+, here I come.
After an all-new loss.
But now our first special guest is a four-time...
We're going to play you a little selection from Dancing with the Stars, and I'm doing this because... it's one of my favorite people of all time. She passed away. Her name's Etta James. And this is the song that President Obama and his wife danced to at inauguration. This is "At Last" by Etta James.
Oh, come along. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, in my lonely days, they're over. And life is like a song. The skies above, they're blue. Oh, and my heart was wrapped up in clover the night I looked at you. I found a dream. I found a dream that I could speak to. A dream that I could call my own. I found a thrill, yeah, to press my cheek to. A thrill that yeah. When you smile. And then the spell was cast. And here we are. We're in heaven.
And that was the fantastic Etta James. Etta James, I have to say this, and I mean this heartfelt sentiment from me. I literally cried. I saw that she died, and I started to cry. I just went, wow, this is an amazing woman who died of leukemia at age 73, and she shaped part of my world. Mm-hmm. At mm-hmm. Last was the song that I always, always thought of. It's this romantic.
It's beautiful.
And
she
and
was a bright light, and she was, the light went out far too early.
And Obama and his wife danced to that, and I remember crying, seeing them dance to that song, and thinking, how appropriate. Etta James died this week, age 73, of leukemia, and so we're just, yeah. Okay, we're going to get back to this. So we're talking about politics. We're talking about the South Carolina elections, and that's kind of what we're talking about here, kind of to the exclusion of everything else today. But we're gonna cut this off quickly. So what happened? Well, what happened was that Newt Gingrich won the South Carolina primary. This is the first time in U.S. presidential history that the first three contests of an election year have been won by three different people.
Yes, and since the modern primary system came into play, the winner of the South Carolina primary has gone on to win the presidency.
That is correct. And generally, I mean,
scary business.
It really is scary business, and it just it blows me away in a way, because they still don't have a clear winner. They still don't have a clear front runner, and people are dropping out like flies. I mean, they really are. I think now Colbert isn't going to stick, because I mean, look, that was him just making fun of the system and pointing out the flaws in the system.
Yeah.
And if you're not watching Stephen Colbert, if you're not watching Jon Stewart, you're kind of missing out, because it's an interesting lesson in not only U.S. politics, but in politics in general, how the wheels get greased to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it... U.S. Speaker, former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich did, in fact, win. He captured 40% of the vote, 27% for Mitt Romney. And that's amazing. Third place was Rick Santorum at 17%. Ron Paul had 13%. And as I mentioned, 1% for Herman Cain / Stephen Colbert. So it's what now? What now is Florida? Now, why is this a big deal? Well, because Florida, the debate is happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's followed by President Obama's State of the Union speech, which is Tuesday night.
Okay.
And people are going to the polls in, toward the end of the week in Florida. Florida is notorious for what?
In hurricanes.
In U.S. politics.
Crazy governors.
Close.
Hurricanes.
Year 2000.
Year 2000. Hanging Chads.
Hanging Chads. Florida is famous for being... for perpetrating is a good word. The defeat, the election,
manufacturing the defeat.
Yes, it's how George W. Bush got into power in the year 2000, yep. Despite winning the popular vote for president.
Despite not winning the popular
vote. Despite not winning the popular vote
that
for
night,
president.
I remember the reports are going back and forth. It's Gore, it's Bush, it's Gore, mm-hmm. it's Bush. Oh, it's Gore. I think they declared it for Gore.
Yeah, in fact, Bush actually gave him a call and conceded.
Yeah.
And then later gave him a call back and said,
not so much.
I think I'm going to rescind my speech from earlier. And he did. So historically, in 2008, Romney ran also for Republican candidate nomination. He finished fourth. So he's improving.
Yeah, he's moving right up there.
He finished behind John McCain, Mike Huckabee, and Fred Thompson from Law & Order.
Right, I forgot about Fred Thompson.
Yeah, so anyway, Fred Thompson. So it's...
And Huckabee.
Instead of emerging from this with his third, victory and then marching in to become, the nominee for president, mm-hmm. he is now in the most precarious situation the GOP has ever seen in all of U.S. history. You have three different candidates that have won in three different states, and it's so split mm-hmm. and so fractured. And you have this really dogged and relentless Ron Paul supporters that are just not going to give up.
Jeez.
And they're going to Florida. Florida is quite elderly, a great, very large Jewish population. It has a Republican governor. It has Republican. It's Republican.
So, who's the governor now?
I think it's still
Jeb, is it?
Yeah, I believe it still is Jeb.
Jeb
Bush. They were actually hoping that Jeb Bush would swing in and take over and be the nominee.
Well, hey, that would be so entertaining.
I'm not kidding. That's what everyone... And they were hoping that Chris Christie...
Who was hoping that?
A lot of the pundits.
A lot of the pundits. Because it would make it interesting.
But also some of the establishment itself. They were really trying to get Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor, to run also. And he just flat out said, no, I'm not running. Read my lips. I am not running. So that's our U.S. politics sort of roundup. There's a lot of talking heads right now. A lot of people are demanding Mitt Romney's tax returns because he hasn't released them. And he has said, made comments about paying only 15%. So people are really pissed off. Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich has got a ball of fire right now, or he ate a whole lot of Mexican food, one or the other. And you have
Ring of fire.
And you have Santorum. And so...
Speaking of Ring of Fire.
So, LGBTQ community out there, listen up. These people hate you. All of them do. Okay?
They're not our friends.
They are not your friends. People that are listening in the United States, and I know there are some of you, these people do not like you. Okay? They're not going to like you, despite whatever.
Don't let this happen.
Do not let this happen. Okay, right now polling exists that states no matter who runs against him, Obama will win.
Good.
But really. So if you get a chance,
it's going to get so nasty.
It is going to be brutal. It is going to be absolutely brutal. So it's, you know, just saying here, it's just one of those things that you've got to, you know, keep in mind, keep listening to Queer FM. We will keep you up on, you know, whatever transpires. But yeah. Well, I am going to play this little snippet. This came up. Well, this was me at 3 o'clock in the morning with a migraine headache, and I was thinking about my former partner who passed away in 2001, and a lot of my friends that passed away, because if you went to the Taboo Sex Show this weekend and you went into the little play demo area, you might have seen a 50-foot leather pride flag completely draping one whole side, every wall of the facility. That was mine. That was the Cascadia Leather Pride flag. It was made by me, donated by from Sailcloth, from one of the sailboat shops in Seattle, Washington. A friend of mine and I made that flag by hand. It's in dedication to the people that we've lost. And my partner Al was one. And this is a little song for him. This is Queer FM Community.
I really knew you well, what would your answer be? If you were here today, ooh, here today. Well, knowing you, you'd probably laugh and say that we were worlds apart. You were here today, ooh, here today. But as for me, I still remember how it was before, and I am holding back the tears. No, no. I love you, ooh. What about the time we met? Well, I suppose that you could say that we were playing hard to get. Didn't understand the thing, but we could always sing. What about the night we cried? Because there wasn't any reason left to keep it all inside. Never understood a word, but you were always there with a smile. And if I say I really loved you and was glad you came along, then you were here today. Ooh, for you were in my song. Ooh, here today.
And for those of you who lost people, yeah, if they were here, they'd just be making fun of you. I know mine would have been. He'd said, yeah, yeah, sappy.
Get over it.
Okay, so this brings us to our WTF segment. And normally we come up with some crazy thing that we're going to talk about that, you know, we made us laugh, made us cry, made us kiss Take $8, her. $12 goodbye. Like, yeah, Grindr was hacked.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
Scary business.
It's like, well, boys and girls, boys in this case.
Grindr.
Boys, you know all those penis pictures that you put up on Grindr? It's gone public. All right, so. Oh, I hope none of you are running for president. Just saying. All right, so one of my favorite groups, and I am going to preface this and say, because we're going to cut this out and we're going to put this on YouTube. I like homorazi.com. I, Aiden Saint of Queer FM, like the guys, well, most of the guys, at homorazi.com. Most of them like me. We've interviewed, we've talked. I can think of one that absolutely hates my guts. But beyond that, most of them actually have been very, very cool to me. They went to interviewed, had a live thing on our coverage at the Out Games.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore Tyrell Witherspoon. He is the coolest and really talented guy.
And a cutie patootie.
And cute, I know.
Him and Patrick.
I know.
Double duo cuteness.
I know. There's too much. You guys probably generate your own cute, like, gravitational cute field. It really makes me sick. Anyway. I'm a bike. I've never been a twink. I never have.
We're not saying they're twinks.
No. But you know what I mean. I've never been pretty. Okay. I've always been striking or whatever. You know, handsome, whatever freaking euphemism you want to use. But I've never been pretty. Okay. And they're just so pretty, in a good way, in a very masculine way. All right. So here's the thing. Everyone, they're always doing their boy crush things on homorazzi.com or the latest thing, the movies they went to or the play or the this and the that. And most of the time it's fun. It's happy. It's fluffy. It's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Today, however, they wrote something. Every once in a while, they'll write something political or they'll write an opinion paper. And generally, if they do, it's very high probability I will disagree with them, as like today. HomoRazzi.com has put out, we ask you, is this what we're fighting for? Now, I'm going to skip down a little bit. They were talking about the United States with gay marriage and equal rights issues. They were talking about the debates in the primaries. Interestingly enough, they avoided mentioning anything about Newt Gingrich and the whole open marriage thing. Okay. Which is okay, whatever.
Don't state the obvious, maybe?
I guess. It says, further down, second paragraph, it says, relationships take a lot of work in building trust, learning to cope. Oh geez. Now, see, I'm trying to get my little electronic, there it goes, to work. Here we go. iPad, geez. Okay, waiting for the iPad.
Relationships take a lot of work in building trust, learning to cope with one another, and how to compromise in certain situations. No one ever said that a marriage was easy. In fighting for the right to marry our same-sex partners, In fighting for the right to marry our same-sex partners means... Okay, there was a typo there, boys. I think it should say...
Apparently, it's also their webpage is also completely graphic, so you can't like take your thumbs and go in your because it just turns into mush. So I'm gonna have to get out my reading glasses here.
Fighting for the right to marry our same-sex partners means we should respect what marriage stands for in sickness and in health till death do you part. Right? That was where they got to.
That's kind of where they got to. Okay.
Now, they're referring to an article from The Advocate, right?
Correct. Daniel Valancourt in The Advocate, they opened up, and I opened this up too. The article itself is entitled, The Gay Male Couple's Guide to Non-Monogamy. According to the statistic that's being quoted is that with regards to gay relationships, 4 out of 5 gay couples are in open marriages. Okay. I'm going to see who wrote this here. Who was it?
It doesn't say, it just says Homorazzi.
I think it's Donovan, but I could be wrong. Their jaw dropped in the staggering statistic that 4 out of 5 gay couples are in open relationships. Okay. As I read that, I asked myself, in the fight for equal rights in gay marriage, is this what we're fighting for? The article itself is entitled The Gay Male Couple's Guide to Non-Monogamy. At a time when we are fighting and struggling so hard to obtain equal rights, to be able to marry our partners, is this something we should be bringing to the forefront to allow our aggressors to throw back in our faces? If you and your partner husband are in an open relationship, I'm not judging you by any means. I have met a handful of open couples, and for them it works. It keeps their relationships, fresh. As one couple puts it in the Advocate article's comments, as two men, sex isn't particularly emotional for either of us. This enables us to separate our love for one another and our occasional physical attraction we may have for another guy. And they're talking about, you know, heartache. They're talking about STIs. They're talking about, you know, is this just a convenient way to save on taxes? So the practical thing that they put out there, and this is what I'm responding to. So we turn the tables to you, our faithful readers. What is your position on the open relationship in relation to the fight for equality in gay marriage? Do you think that it's right for us to be so openly discussing an obvious ongoing practice, or should we opt out and stand to try and earn the the right to marry our same-sex partners. Is your relationship open or closed? Does this work for you? Is it heartbreak? Lastly, is monogamy and the idea of being solely with your partner during your relationship dead? Sound off below. Okay.
Aiden's going to sound off now.
I'm sounding off.
Take it away, Aiden.
Can I say bullshit?
What time is it? Not yet.
Oops. Here's the thing. Heterosexual couples are allowed to have open relationships. They're allowed to go to swing clubs. They're allowed to go to fetish clubs. They're allowed to cover themselves in frosting and lick it off if they want. They're allowed to do whatever they want between two consenting adults on their own time, behind closed doors, or out in the open, as long as they don't get arrested. Look, so are we. As a person who has lived his entire life as a, you know, hiding, don't ask, don't tell. I grew up in a military family. It was definitely don't ask, don't tell. All right. I grew up in a country where I wasn't guaranteed rights from the moment I became of legal, you know, of age of consent. What I'm objecting to is that people are writing these kinds of opinions, asking me and people like me to go back in the closet as to not embarrass you. Yet you folks are the young, you know, pretty guys that get up on the float wearing a Speedo, you know, during Pride and, you know, with all your body makeup and everything else. And for, you know, the same thing can be said here. There's every year at the Pride Parade, there's the, you know, tone it down. We don't want to scare the straights. Well, if 4 out of 5, based on this statistic, have been in open relationships. And oh, by the way, I've been in them. Okay. The song that I played for my former partner. We were in an open relationship, okay? I didn't love him any less, and it's nobody else's damn business but mine and his. Everybody else, back the hell off, shut the hell up, and leave us alone. We're allowed to make those choices as adults. Look, you can't have it both ways, boys. I mean, you don't get to dictate morality just like the heterosexual community doesn't get to dictate morality to you. I mean, that's the bottom line. Whether or not I agree with open relationships is immaterial to the discussion. You're asking for equal marriage rights, equal relationship rights. Equal rights means there's going to be some fluctuation there, okay? If monogamy works for you, great. It doesn't work for me. Okay, I'm a non-monogamous person. I tell people right up front, that's where I'm at. I've been in the leather community for 20 years. In kink, that's where I'm at. I'm very honest, very open about that. People know. You know, I'm on the board of Vancouver Men in Leather, for God's sake. Here's the thing. You, with all due respect, you haven't lived in Canada. You haven't lived in the United States. You have guaranteed rights and freedoms. Now, with the whole marriage hoo-ha, you know, and the divorce hoo-ha that's going on, I get it. There's still some kinks to work out. But most of you who are under the age of 25 have never known a place where you couldn't be open, where mm-hmm. you couldn't walk down the street holding your boyfriend's hand, marry him if you want, if you're a lesbian, holding your girlfriend's hand and marry her if you want. I still come from a place that's not really so acceptable. And by doing politics all the time, I'm reminded of this every day, that in my country, I am a second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. I am reviled by huge groups of populations. There are places in the United States that I cannot go and hold the hand of my partner, of my boyfriend, nothing. If I choose behind closed doors in my private life to be in an open relationship, yes, homorazi.com, that's exactly what we're fighting for. Equality. The equality to make the choices we want to make as adults. Period. Okay. I got to say my piece. So Jennifer Breakspear, what do you think? I mean, I've heard this argument before. I've seen it before. Some of my gay and lesbian friends have told me this before, and I always look at them and smile quietly to myself and go, "Yeah, if you only knew, you know, where I was last night." And the thing is that a lot of these guys that, that bitch so loudly, the youngest guys, they're the ones that are at the white party, or they're the ones that are, you know, dancing till 3 a.m. They're, you know, mm-hmm. they're the ones that there's a reason why there's a gay culture, because gay culture, for the most part, has been underground. It's creating its own place, its own feel, its own thing, because we were never accepted anywhere else. So why the homogenization? Why must we try to be like the heterosexual couples? What's this thing that, that's going on?
I don't know what this thing is, although I think that certainly here in Canada, when the fight was afoot to gain marriage equality, certainly there were a lot of people, academics and activists, that were saying, we don't want marriage. We don't want to be like the straight community. We're not trying to replicate a flawed institution. We don't want that. I think what carried the day was a larger proportion of our communities who said, look, we want the option to choose whether we enter into that institution, whether we go that legal route or not. And at the moment, prior to 2005, we didn't have that option. So marriage equality, having the right to marry in Canada, does not mean that doesn't mean you're in closed relationships, you're in monogamous relationships, you're in open relationships, just as it does not mean that if you're straight. You have the option to marry someone in the eyes of the law. And I agree with you, Aidan. I mean, there's the fight for marriage equality was the next step in the civil rights struggle of the queer community. And part of that civil rights struggle is as you said, a right to be treated equally by the rest of society. And that doesn't mean necessarily to be wholly understood, to be wholly embraced for everything that one might be about, because there's some stuff, you know, maybe my next door neighbor's up to that I'm not down with, but as long as it's legal, consensual, and safe, sane, and consensual, then who but me to interfere?
No, I can see that you're an SSC person. I'm a RAC person, a risk-aware consensual kink, because I always, when anyone says safe, sane, and consensual, I always say, how do you check your sanity externally with a dipstick? And they usually go, huh? And I said, exactly. Now, question. By the way, that's some BDSM logo. Go look at SSC and RACK as an acronyms in BDSM, and you'll get the thing. Google it. Oh, and Google Santorum. Now, the other thing that they brought up was the whole STIs argument, that if you have an open relationship, how can you guarantee that your partner isn't going to get an STI? And my response is, how is it 100% safe? Here's my response, homorazi.com. How can you tell me that without a shadow of a doubt that you're not carrying an STD already, that it's not dormant, that you're not like carrying, say, herpes simplex 2, it's in a dormant phase, you drop a whole bunch of weight, let's say, or you go through a stressful time, and since it's a neurological, you know, condition and lays dormant in the neurological system of the human being and then flares back up, you don't see it, you infect your partner.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to be scaring people. We want to be making sure they're aware.
Correct.
And getting tested regularly. So this argument that open relationships are not safe because you could be spreading STIs, again, be safe.
Yeah.
Play safe. Glove it.
Glove it. Wear condoms. Do, you know,
get tested.
Go talk to the boys at Health Initiative for Men. They've got a great program for that. It's got a number scale, 3, 6, and 12. I'm a 12. And you know, that's how often you need to go and get tested. You know, it's just, I don't like someone, and I'm going to be ageist for just a second. I don't like someone, no. I don't like someone who's like 25 telling me at 46, telling me, well, you know, we'd really like it if you not do that because you're embarrassing us, or you're, you know, somehow I'm taking away from the thing that they're fighting for hell I fought for. You're receiving what those of us who actually fought for during the AIDS epidemic, during all this, that lost our partners, lost our friends, lost so much, gave up so much so that you can write this kind of column. And I'm going, wow, really?
Yeah,
you're lecturing me?
We achieved marriage equality here in Canada in 2005. I can remember in 1990, fighting with the major insurance company back in Ontario to get my same-sex partner on my benefits plan. That was long predating these issues, and you know, come on, who's been fighting these issues?
Fighting in my case, fighting with Microsoft in the late 90s to get my partner on my insurance so that he could receive the cancer treatment he needed. Really? HomoRazzi.com? Sorry, boys. I disagree with you.
And I'm, you know, I got to just say, you know, the legal but fights that I did in the early 90s, the legal fights you did in the late 90s, those were about things that, you know, those were the fights we could have in that time because there was something we could go to bat under.
Correct.
And we did. And we had those fights. And I believe those fights were important to have. They got us, furthered us down the road to where we are now. And yeah, they were about things like, you know, well, same-sex marriage, open relationships, all of it.
Yep.
Again, it's about being treated equally under the law.
And that's all we ever want, is to be treated equally under the law. So to have our own younger members of our own society questioning, trying to chastise us, it's like, sit down. Now, we love you. We think you're fantastic. But, and that's all I'm going to say on that. So check it out. It's on HomoRazzi.com. Drive some traffic there. Check it out. Check out the Advocate's Guide the Gay Male Couple's Guide to Non-Monogamy. And you can check that out on theadvocate.com. We're out of time by 1 minute, so we're going to run right into Queer FM. And this is Queer FM Community. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And this is Aiden Saint.
Jennifer Breakspear.
We're out of here.
Bye.
Change the scheme. Alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
This can't be good. What am I supposed to do?
Survive.
Here they come.
And it's Queer FM. My name's Aiden Saint. Hey, how you doing? Well, if you just got done listening to us on Queer FM Community, we're going to continue. We have Trevor Loke of the Vancouver Parks Board. He's a commissioner and going to be here. And we're also going to be talking with Corinne of the Rio Theater. We're going to talk about movies and booze. Movies and booze. And why you can't have movies and booze. And we're also going to, there's just some music and some fun, and we're going to just do it. So one of the things that we do is we get all kinds of crazy music that gets sent our way. I was going to play the Obama Sing Born This Way, but I think I'll pass on that. I told you, I get some really crazy stuff. But we are going to play this. This is Garth Emery featuring Christina Novelli, Concrete Angel. That's one of our new things here on Queer FM. Enjoy.